Welcome to Off the Cuff. I'm Dean Vitale, your regular guy, and joining me is our host, lifetime pastor, Pastor John Bell. Thanks, John, for hopping on the call.
My pleasure.
Yeah, this is I'm excited about this one. And let me just explain.
We're excited about all of them.
You know what? You're right. You know what? Anytime you and I talk, I get excited about what I'm going to learn. I'm really excited
to be with you.
Thank you. And I'm really excited because you know what? Other people are learning this too. And that really, the people are tapping into your wisdom and your teachings and your biblical truths. And that's what really makes me excited.
I'll give you my source. My source is God's Word and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, that's great. So what we do here on Off the Cuff is we take a question, and a question comes from a variety of places. You know, people actually now are texting me and say, hey, ask John this, or is this a good question? And, you know, we all know that there's no such thing as a dumb question. So that's what we do. We jump on this call, and then I ask John a question. And then John elaborates on it. And then we kind of go back and forth a little bit. And I ask John for some clarity. And we do this at least once a week. We put one up on our website. And you can go up there and look at that. And obviously, if you're here, you've gotten there from some way. But it's AmazingMenMinistries.com. And click on the series. And you will see our video series, and that's Core of a Man. And then right underneath there, you will see Off the Cuff. And then soon you will see Wow Church. And we're going to talk about all those things throughout these different podcasts. But John, here it is. This is today's question. And I hear this often. And growing up a Catholic, this wasn't out of the ordinary for me. But here's the question. I like to pray to Mary, the Virgin Mary. Does the Bible say it's okay to pray to others and, you know, like these patron saints? Is that okay?
So all denominations, Roman Catholicism, Baptists, Methodists, they all have traditions in them that are not biblical. So I don't want to just pick on Roman Catholics. I certainly don't want to beat them up. But, you know, things like praying to Mary, celebrating the Mass, venerating the Pope. These are the kinds of things that are more, they're church teachings, but they're not Bible teachings. So someday I want to write a sermon and call it A Conversation Between Mary and the Pope. And I suspect Mary, if she could have a conversation with the Pope, she would start with, you know, you and the church say a lot of things about me that aren't true.
Mm.
They're not in the Bible, here's one of the problems with it, Dean, is, you know, there's like 1 billion. I think there's 1 billion Catholics worldwide, Roman Catholics worldwide.
Mm.
And the vast majority don't know that things like praying to Mary, venerating Mary has been elevated to a status that she would never take. She herself, if she could come and talk to the Pope, she'd say, you know, that is not who I am. I am not the Queen of Heaven. I'm not the Mother of God. I'm a sinner. I'm the mother of Jesus. He got his humanity from me, but he had his deity before he ever got to me. You know, there's a passage in Isaiah 9:6, you know, and here's how it goes. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Now, that's not repetition, by the way, because the child that's born is Jesus. He's Jesus the Messiah, and he had to be human, so he needed, you know, a human mother so that he could become human just like us. But then it says a son is given. Where does that come from? That he is given by God. He's the Son of God. He's the son of Mary in his humanity, a son of David. That's where he gets his lineage from, David, because she's in the lineage of David. But he is the son of God. So even when we say things like Mary, Mother of God, or Mary, Queen of Heaven, those are just wrong. In fact, in the book of Jeremiah, that phrase, Queen of Heaven, that was a pagan cult. That was borrowed from a pagan cult out of Babylon. And a lot of pagan practices, as we've said before, a lot of pagan practices. So anyhow, the way I like to deal with all these things, Dean, do you want to jump in there and say anything?
Yeah, so we don't want to just focus on just Mary, but basically all these patron saints, you know, again, I just Googled it. It's 1.2 billion Roman Catholics in the world.
Okay.
That's a lot. So, you know, you were right there. So what I'm saying is this, I'm saying, you know, other people say, oh, you pray to this saint if you want to sell your house. Okay. You pray to this saint if you lost your car keys. You pray to this saint if you're lonely. So I guess, you know, I did start it off with, I like to pray to Mary because my background years ago, when I was a little boy, I was a Catholic. So some of these things are very fresh in my mind still as a man of 60 years old. So that's why I kind of phrased the question that way. But I did get other people say, well, you know, I buried a statue of this saint.
Right. To sell your house.
And, you know, and it's amazing. And, you know, I'm going to just say, I always refer to the verse, I will share my glory with no one.
Right.
Am I right hitting that verse and saying, wait a minute, you have to understand, you know, a bride that goes and prays to Mary at the ceremony, like you said a couple episodes ago, you do not need any intercessor, between you and God, but only Jesus Christ.
Well, actually, and that's the Bible verse. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. He is our intercessor.
Mm-hmm. No one else.
No one else.
Okay.
Why?
Okay.
Why would? Good. So here, the disciples came to Jesus, and this is the only question they, you know, this is the only thing they ever ask him. They said, can you teach us to pray? Because they saw his prayer life. And he said, and that's when he gave the Lord what we call the Lord's Prayer. And he says, and the opening line of the Lord's Prayer is, Our Father who art in heaven. He's teaching the disciples that, and then they're going out and they're teaching other people that same thing. Yeah, there's, again, so my test for everything, and this is a good place to put this in, with all kinds of questions. When Paul is on the missionary journey, one of the places he goes to is Macedonia, which is northern Greece today. And he goes to this town, this city called Berea. And there he preaches. You know, he tells them about Jesus, the Messiah. But it says about them, before they would accept what Paul was saying, they searched the scriptures. Because they wanted to line up what Paul was saying with what the scriptures taught. And so that's called the Berean test, by the way. So that's when we talk about things like this, like praying to the patron saints for various reasons, it's like, just give it the Berean test. You know, is there any place in scripture that talks about praying to the saints? Now, look, I have people say, John, would you pray for me? I'm praying as well. But both of us are praying to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So even when we join with others in prayer, we're still directing our prayers to the same person.
Yeah, so it's okay, because I've asked you in the past too, hey, John, can you pray for me on this? So that's okay to ask others for prayer,
right? Yeah, absolutely. It actually says, it encourages us to do that for one another.
Right. So if I'm a 45-year-old guy and I'm hearing this for the first time, I could just imagine they're saying, no, that's not right. That's not right. I've prayed to fill in the blank, this saint all my life, and I know that he was loyal to me, and I'm going to continue to pray to him. Where does that come from?
I think a lot of us are emotionally attached to things and kind of our background. You know, people get their identity not so much as an individual, but as part of a group. So when you're part of a group, and group identity is very, very powerful, and especially if you identified with that group early on and you learned some of the practices. Absolutely. You know, like baptizing infants, for instance, I was the pastor of an evangelical church, and we didn't baptize infants. But I would, you know, we had many, many Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, who ended up coming to our church, and then they would have a child, and they'd say, my parents are so afraid that if this child doesn't get baptized, they're going to go to hell. And so what I started, I developed a baptism, but it wasn't the baptism of salvation, which follows salvation, which is a picture of our salvation. But I said, this is a baptism like John the Baptist baptized with, because that was a different baptism. And it was more of a baptism of preparation. And here's the interesting thing. It didn't matter. I mean, I explained clearly what I was doing, but they were just happy that we were doing the ritual, the ceremony, you know? Mm. And I just think that people get emotionally attached to these things. And, you know, a lot of people also reject Christianity, not because of the facts, but just because they've been hurt some way, or they've been disappointed, they're mad at God or whatever. So I think our emotions play a big part in these things. And then we can, you know, the old saying is, when I've got God in the room, I can talk him into pretty much anything. So
yeah, it's like you got two guys in the room, and they're watching a football game, and they're both praying that their team wins. And then when the guy's team wins, he goes, you see, God listens to my prayers.
Yeah. I think it gets into that whole thing. But again, I mean, the clearest teaching on it is Jesus prayed to the Father. He taught the disciples to pray to the Father. When you see men like Paul and Peter and others, it's like, I guess, why would you want to go to – actually, I really do think when a person prays to a saint as opposed to praying to God, there's actually – you're kind of saying, God can't handle this, or I need to go to someone other than the Father or the Son or the Holy Spirit. And I just don't – I don't think you would want to be saying that, would you?
Yeah, I just think I know, not I think, but I know as a, you know, years ago Catholic, you kind of say, well, God's a little bit too busy.
Yeah, I know.
His inbox is full.
Yeah. And I think the advantage some people think of going to Mary, it's like, well, she's his mother and he's going to do it then.
You know, like mom guilt. Hey, yeah, wait a minute. Like, might be Italian. You know,
remember when in John chapter 2, the wedding of Cana,
yeah.
She goes and she says, you know, they ran out of wine.
Why are you bothering me, woman?
Like, woman, what have I to do with? In other words, that relationship that we've had for the last 30 years, it's changing now.
Right.
But yeah. You know what? He goes ahead and does it for her, you know, and I think that's part of the, but I just think that, yeah, people think, well, God's too busy, which, look, I mean, isn't that kind of an affront to God? Mm. I mean, because the scriptures are full of the here's how much God knows about us. He knows how many hairs are on our head. He knows us intimately. He has great compassion for us. It just takes away, I think, from the love of God, the compassion of God, the plans that God has for you. Nobody else is involved in the plans for your life. Just, you know, it's God. God has the sovereign rule. If you could go to the king of a country or one of his servants and you had a choice, which one would you go to?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, I just think that, you know, scriptures clearly teach that we are to go to the Father in Jesus' name. That doesn't mean saying in Jesus' name at the end of our prayers, although I do that. But it's me going to the Father with the will of the Father and the plan of the Son in my life and saying, I adore you. Here's some things that are keeping me separate. I'm thankful for you. Now here are the needs that I have. You know, that little formula called ACTS. So A is adoration, C is confession, T is thanksgiving, and then S is supplication, which is petitions and requests that we have. And God wants us to bring, he wants us to actually bring, here's what Peter says this, casting all your care upon him because he cares for you. Hmm.
All right. In the couple minutes we have left, I got to ask this. Does God answer those prayers when people pray to St. Matthew, St. Joseph, you know, Mary, St. Christopher? Does God hear those prayers, or do those prayers stop at your bedroom ceiling?
Yeah, I would say that you're not praying to God. I mean, you might as well be talking to the wall. Because It's like, it'd be like praying to, it'd be like me trying to have a conversation with you, but not really talking to you.
I can't hear.
Right.
Because you're not talking to me.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. So God just doesn't understand and then allows those prayers.
No, because God wants, you know, part of it is, it's not just meaning well. Because lots of people mean well and do really dumb things. God gives us the truth. He's given us instruction about prayer and about how to pray. And he wants our lives to be conformed to the truth. He wants us to live in spiritual truth, not in something that we're making up or some tradition is teaching us.
Got it. All right, well, we got to wrap it up there. John, again, thank you. Thanks for the clarity. Again, you know, I learned something again today. And we hope you did too. Remember, we're here, Pastor John Bell and myself, Dean Vitale, at least once a week on our website where you can listen to Off the Cuff. We invite you to invite your friends to listen. And if you have any questions, you can email us all the time, and you'll find those forms on our website as well. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Off the Cuff. And we're looking forward to talking to you next time.